Plug your ears, maybe, but don't plug your butthole.
But I brought my special butt plug. Here is a song.
Your special one?
Mine, butt plug.
Pull this microphone closer to you.
Butt plug.
Come on, you guys.
This is a song.
I shouldn't be the only one who's getting this shit together.
Disappointed.
You know what gets my shit together? My butt plug. My butt plug. It plugs my butt.
That's what they do.
I don't have a cadence yet. I haven't written the cadence.
How about a cadence weapon?
Plug my butt. I don't know what to say from there. Edmonton? I'm thinking cadence of weapon? Saying butt plug again to just bring me down to butt plug.
Well, it fits the rhyming meter.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a fun topical joke relevant to this conversation?
Topical joke? Oh, was it about the Bahamas? Oh!
He said topical.
Why?
Like the cream?
Topical
like
the cream. Yeah. This is relevant to the conversation. What did the zero say to the eight? Nice belt.
How is that relevant to the conversation?
It's not.
Oh.
That was half the joke.
Oh.
What did the zero say to the one?
Clearly I'm working on a higher level than you.
Apparently.
No, it's just way lower.
I liked it. I liked the joke, but I do too. You know what spoiled it? It was me sitting there thinking, how does that tie in?
What did the zero say to the three? I fucked your wife!
Zero's the three's wife.
Four.
Why is six afraid of seven?
Because I would say
seven,
that
eight, nine.
Three should be the wife to four, because three kind of looks like that. Like the curve of the three could be like a vajayjay.
Or boobs.
Or a butthole.
Three is in a Mormon relationship because there's more than two.
Four is actually the exact shape of my penis.
Tried. Your penis is four shaped.
My penis is shaped like a four.
Foreskin.
Like,
it has like, it's like when an airplane draws it in the sky and it's like.
That's what your wiener looks like?
Yeah.
Is it all puffy and smoky?
Mine's like a cartoon cactus.
Also
well, welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, July the 17th.
That was disturbing.
It was.
I made a hand face.
Yeah, that was supposed to be my cactus penis, I think. I don't really...
That's my favorite wrestler.
Cactus penis?
Yeah. Cactus penis.
Fuck! So yeah, Wednesday, July 17th, we read comic books, we talk about them, my dog eats his blanket, shit goes down, and then we all just peace out.
Not when you got a butt plug.
One thing in that stays put. One thing in that is not true.
What?
One thing in that description.
Which
we
one?
We really talk about comics.
I didn't say we talk about them, so we read them.
Yeah.
Because we do that.
I read one once, remember? It was the
best bit ever. Just before we even start, I read the first four issues of Joe Casey's Sex, which you guys weren't fans of.
Mm.
I didn't really mind the book. I like it a lot. I think you guys are wrong.
I didn't mind the book at all. I thought the book was kind of whatever, but... I thought the book was really boring.
I really like
yeah.
it, and I. But my favorite part of every issue is the essay in the back.
Boo.
Seriously, he's awesome. I love Joe Casey.
Do you feel like a dink for reading Marvel books after reading that?
No, I think that if you did, though, that says more about you because he doesn't really say anything. I mean,
that's
you were
fair.
Projecting. I think you were just like "fuck you, man," because he doesn't really say that. But everything he says about corporate comics is true. It doesn't mean that they're not fun or fun to read.
What corporate comics did Joe Casey ever write?
He's written a lot of stuff, like Cable, and I think he's written Spider-Man. Like, he's written a lot of stuff. He's been writing comics for like 20 years, yeah.
Whoa!
I'm
older than that, but that's still a long time.
Yeah, and he's written lots of really good superhero stuff, too. And even in the second and third issues, in his back matters, he's talking about he still reads a lot of Marvel and DC books and loves superhero comics, so...
Just embittered about the industry.
Which we spend almost every episode talking about on this show.
Is embittered... The right word.
Yeah, I think that it's very probable that he's embittered and slightly jaded because a lot of creators, I think, who've worked in that work for hire scene, and especially now, seeing that the different climates and cultures at the major two comic publishers over the years, now is one of the most editorially driven and unfriendly to creators in the history of, well, at least in the last 25 years since the revolution in the 80s.
Vive la revolution!
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talk about it every day.
We do.
Every episode we talk about it.
I think that I am just a man of impeccable family-centric taste.
That's fine. You're allowed to think
family-centric taste?
And I will read a book
like you have good taste in families?
It just
families,
means he watches
or?
Incest porn.
Not incest porn. I just eat a lot of families.
Insorm.
No.
You eat families.
That's weird. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, that's strange.
Motherfuckers gotta eat.
Do you limit... Like your diet based on like the amount of people in a family? Like, do you stick with like, does it have to be like mom, dad? No?
Children are a little gamey.
Yeah. Do you make them most dangerous game? You make children like run out in the yard and then you have got to like get them in a net and then.
No, I just. Bang, bang.
Jesus, what?
No,
yeah. Okay.
Was that a punchline? I don't know. Was that I just bang bang.
So ooh. Superior Spider-Man is gonna, is gonna fight Venom.
Hey, did you see the Superior Spider-Man solicit with the J.G. Jones cover of him doing this? Of it's like the Ben Reilly Spider-Man,
straight edge Spider-Man.
Yeah. No. Do you know what I'm talking about?
J.G. Jones cover because he's straight edge.
I don't know what you're talking about. No.
There was a really really great Spider-Man solicit. For Superior Spider-Man, and it is Spider-Man 2099.
Oh, yeah.
And J.G. Jones did the cover, and it looks phenomenal.
That's not Ben Reilly, though.
Is it not? Sorry, I don't know enough
Spider-Man
about
Spider-Man 2099
that.
Is Miguel Herrera.
Miguel O'Hara.
Who is Ben Reilly?
Ben Reilly was the original Scarlet Spider. He was the Peter Parker clone.
Right, right. Then I might be mistaken about this being the Spider-Man 2099. Maybe it's not. I don't remember. I don't know enough about Spider-Man history. It is?
They're doing the Spider-Man 2099 story, yeah.
Okay, then that's what J.G. Jones
This is the cover for Spider-Man 22. No, I'm looking at the one for 22 for what I was talking about.
Oh, I like that cover a lot.
Before I was so rudely interrupted.
Oh, sorry, Ryan.
It was me.
It's a great cover with this Humberto Ramos Venom story. I'm totally on board for a Superior Spider-Man versus Venom story.
Yeah, sure.
I like Flash Thompson Venom, too. So
I do, too. But my favorite Spider-Man artist, as you know, is Humberto Ramos. And yes, this is the cover that Rob's talking about. The J.G. Jones...
doesn't look cool.
Miguel O'Hara one. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Straight edge.
He's better
straight
than
edge.
He's back because you
spinning
loudly demanded
the web. It. Don't doing drugs to fuck with my head. Straight edge Spider-Man. Get in the game. Gonna sing you a song. Drinking is lame. Bum, bum, bum.
And Peter Milligan announced a book. We'll get to that later.
Peter Milligan is one of my favorite writers of all time.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I've said that a thousand times on the show.
Guys, I'm going to talk about a book I read this week.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Nope.
And I would have made the right pick, but I always pick this book, so I thought, I'll change it up. I'll keep people guessing.
By the way, what was your pick?
A book that none of you guys
okay.
read, so don't worry
okay,
about
that's
this
all
one.
That's all. Okay, cool.
So, you know what time it is? Come on, grab your friends. Adventure Time number 18.
Wait, I'll grab the guitar. Hold up. Talk.
Oh, this is so unnatural because now I have to walk to the other room and get my guitar.
We're talking and things.
I'm going to walk all the way in here.
This is how you vamp.
Blech.
This is...
Adventure time. Grab your friends.
You're way out of...
Go to very distant lands. Jake the dog and Finn the human. The fun will never end. It's adventure time.
So anyway, Ryan North wrote this issue. And... I think all theme songs, all songs, including all TV theme songs, right when you think they're over, should go into like a little blues lick at the end. Just imagine, like, seems to me she lived her life like a candle in the wind. Skiddly-beep-beep-bow.
At the end of like an old sitcom, if like every Friends episodes like ended with that last do 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 bow. So Monica,
skiddly-beep-beep-bow.
Like, and they tried to get it lined out, but were just like frustrated.
The criminal justice system. Boom, boom. Squiddle, bam, bam.
Boom, boom. So where were you on that?
This week, on a very special episode of Facts of... Bam, 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 bam.
You didn't say Facts of Life?
I was. Yeah.
We are all talking about shows
you
that have been
the
off
good,
the
you
air
take the bad,
so
you take
long.
The love, and there you have the Facts of Life. Squiddly, bam, bam. The Facts of Life. Squiddly, bam, bam.
Okay, how you doing?
Squiddly, bam, bam, bam.
That's Friends. That's the only
name. I think this episode should just be called Squiddly, bam, bam.
How
I have no idea
that?
How to spell that. Well, there you go.
Just the title of it should just be a tab.
Yeah, the tab for Squiddly, bam, bam, wow, Squiddly.
I know the first two words of Smelly Cat. That's my knowledge of Friends. That
and she's like, what are they feeding you? Squiddly, bam, bam, bam. Are you making fart noises with your hands? Disgusting.
I make them with my butt.
I make fart noises
just
with my
once
mama.
A year. It's
all right, anyway. All right, you fuckers. Adventure Time, number 18. Written by Ryan North. Art by Shelley Perelin and Braden Lamb. I think we should also point out that since this book started, they've had the same art team.
That's impressive.
Nobody mentioned that. But it's true.
Attaboy.
They're looking at ads.
Disc, disc.
So this picks up for last week. Left out. Remember, they're in the dungeon. They're in the... They're in this dungeon fighting monsters, and Finn and Jake and the Ice King are teaming up to fight the monsters in this dungeon. And then when they defeat the main, this boss at the end of the dungeon, inside the treasure chest, they find the entrance to another dungeon. But it's a callback to the first storyline in the book, the Lich. He apparently created his own dungeon called Lichland. And so they go into the Lichland portal, and each one of them sees a different place. So the art style changes depending on whose perspective we're looking at. So first you get Finn, and Finn has a nose in this world. It's really weird.
Boo.
And Jake can't talk and just acts like a dog. And then in Jake's version of Lichland, Finn can stretch, and Jake, so he has all of Finn's, all of Jake's powers. And in Ice Kingland, his like his old long lost girlfriend Betty is there. But at the end of the issue, we find out that they're not actually in any of those places. They're all just like being mind controlled by the Lich to think they're in places. So the Lich is going to come back to life. Crazy
life Lich,
like the L-I-C-H.
Yeah,
I love it because it's like World of Warcraft.
It is. And then the backup story is called Publisher Parish, where Finn and Jake are acting as bodyguards as the Y-Wolves are going to work on a scientific paper with Princess Bubblegum, but they don't trust the Y-Wolves. They're convinced that the Y-Wolves are going to do something not so nice, but it's pretty funny when they go to this like scholarly, the Threshold of Destiny, and like the guards say, hey, scholars only, yeah, no CV, no entrance.
No CV?
Yeah, it's actually a very funny issue, and this cover is really good too. But speaking, as always, this book is great, and y'all should be reading it.
Speaking of
CV, you guys don't read this.
My CV joint on my car is blowing up. It's fun.
Yeah? Are you eating your blanket already? For fuck's sakes, man, we're not even 10 minutes into the episode.
Come on, Rob.
I just love comfort in my mouth.
Comforter in your mouth.
I just love
cum in my mouth.
Come on, boys.
I read a book that is the second installment of an 8-issue miniseries by Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso. It's
Brother Lono, featuring your favorite psychopath.
Why are you
murderer.
Talking like Don Pardo?
Deadpool. No.
It's Saturday Night Live, featuring
Jackie Killam,
Jackie Jorp Drop.
I like Jackie
Killam. Janie Jorp Drop. That was that 30 Rock bit. Remember when Jenna's going to play the Janis Joplin character, but they can't get the rights to her life, so then she goes. The name of the character changes from like Jeannie Joplin or Jeannie Jopler to eventually becomes like Joni Jomp Jomp.
Was it wait? Is this pre or post the Rural Juror?
The Rural Juror. This is actually pre Rural Juror, and it's sequel Urban Fervor. I'm a huge Kevin Grisham fan. Nicole is reading a John Grisham novel right now for her book club, which is weird. But every time I come and I ask her, I just refer to it as the Rural Juror and ask her how she's enjoying it. I'm a huge Kevin Grisham fan. Anyway, what the fuck book is
Okay. Part two of Brother Lono. I really love that this miniseries is a totally... Like, it's not an expansion of the story in 100 Bullets. Like, the story in 100 Bullets is done. That whole saga of the Minutemen is done. Instead, what this is it's a really cool look at one of the Minutemen once they've sworn off that life and they've moved away. So now it's Lono in Mexico. It's still like the exact same tone and feel and style as 100 Bullets, so it's supremely violent, supremely disturbing, like really dark and very compelling characters. But I mostly loved that, unlike what I think Brian Azzarello does, is he only tells stories that he actually like has something to say. Like, when he was working on Before Watchmen, I liked both his Before Watchmen stories, but the only reason he did them because he actually had a story, and he had a really good story with Comedian, I thought, and a really cool story with Rorschach. Less so with Rorschach, more so with Comedian. But when I read Comedian, it didn't feel like, hey, we're doing Before Watchmen, it'll make a lot of money, write a story. Well, I don't have any ideas. I'm scrambling. But
it should have just been 6 issues of him telling bad jokes.
Yeah,
I would have bought that book. I'd laugh. Maybe good
but,
jokes to me.
Instead, it was like, no, I actually have like he had a plan for that character and somewhere to go. Where with Brother Lono, like it's totally not like, hey, 100 Bullets fans, remember when I did that 10 years ago? Wouldn't that be sweet if I kept doing that? Sweet, let's do it again. No, it's actually, he totally had a really cool story, a really cool idea to tell with this Brother Lono character, or to tell with Lono, that involves the Mexican drug trade and involves his, like, celibate lifestyle now that he lives. And the best sequence in the book is he's at a bar and he's looking at these, like, gangsters who are with their girlfriends, and he's just, like, imagining the girls naked, and then, Bender Rama.
Shut up.
He's
He's peering through with his sad eyes.
And I can hear him just like breaking stitches. He looks like, what happened?
Why is that loud noise?
That wasn't me hitting my dog, by the way. That was me punching his kennel so that it would stop him.
Punching his kennel right into his dog.
Yeah.
Whatever, he's a big dog.
Now, the dog is not inside the kennel. The kennel is inside the dog.
What?
I'm sorry.
Don't even know what that means.
He didn't beat his dog, it's okay. Sorry, yeah, you're going
wrong. Right.
It's
oh,
a really
my,
cool...
Oh, my hand is dirty very, now. His kettle is really dirty.
It was a very cool sequence. As he's staring at these, like, these gangsters, he's picturing their girlfriends naked, and then he's kind of like, no, I gotta calm down. I'm just going to sit here and have a drink. I'm just going to, like, chill to myself. And then these gangsters come and try to start a fight with Lono. And if you've read 100 Bullets, like, out of all the Minutemen that were on that team, the one person you would never want to fuck with is Lono. Like, I've seen... The most violent sequences in comic books I've read have been from stuff that Lono does in 100 Bullets.
Yeah.
Like, he's fucking horrifying in that saga. And it ends quite satisfying. Like, it's pretty funny. I don't know. Like,
I'm guessing he wins.
Well, I'm not gonna... It's hard to explain, actually, what happens. It's kind of like a... It's not as simple as, like, he fights them and they die or something. It's very cool. Anyway, thinking back to it, it's way less of like, holy shit, that was nuts moment, as it is just kind of like, whoa, that's cool to see Lono actually do something like that. He basically just like, instead of killing anyone, he just like let, oh man, this is going to sound awful for anyone who hasn't read 100 Bullets. Basically, he just lets them laugh at him and like, no, for his character, he lets them laugh at him and he's the butt of a joke and then he like gets chased out of a bar and you're just like, I've seen this guy eviscerate people. And he... Anyway, it's a very cool series.
I don't know why I plugged my ears for that, yet didn't plug my ears when you were like, he's the most vicious person in that land. He kills people.
Oh my god, dude. The first time... one of the first times you see Lono...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've gotten that far.
Lono is fucking horrifying. Also, look how this book ends. Oh. A guy getting his legs...
Nerf. I want to see that book eventually.
Smurf, very good. It's
very good.
Yeah, I'm done. Shut the fuck up, Rob.
Hey, is that Robert E. Howard on the back?
I think it's the character.
Oh, really? It looks kind of like Robert E. Howard.
Yeah, it's the Irishman from the book. I'm going to talk about a book, and I'm not going to go too in-depth because Joey hasn't read it yet.
It's true. Joey's a big, fat loser.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not big.
I didn't really hear that until the second after. I'm going to talk about Half Past Danger, issue 3. By Stephen Dr. Jones Mooney. Colors by Jordy Ravenwood Belair. Edited by Chris Shea Schraff and Chris Marcus Rial. I just like it's Indiana Jones. So I'm like, quote.
Shy.
I can't,
they're all characters from Indiana Jones.
I can't say LaDouche name.
Well, they're all characters from Indiana Jones. Dr. Jones, Ravenwood, Shia, and Marcus. Although, fucking Shia.
Yeah.
That shouldn't even count for.
I think they
Indiana
hate
Jones.
That editor. That's my guess. With a really cool subscription variant cover by Lee Bermejo, and he's standing on a dinosaur he killed. Anyways, really, really like if you liked Indiana Jones, you'll love this because it's Indiana Jones meets and good Indiana Jones, like Nazi fighting Indiana Jones meets kind of Jurassic Park on this island with a bunch of dinosaurs and a whole bunch of stuff happens. And we learn more about this guy, John Noble, who's kind of a Captain America trope. As well, a lot of stuff happens with this kind of ninja-looking dude. With a really cool cliffhanger that makes me really want to read the next issue, because it looks really fun.
Oh my god. I already told this to Joey, it ends off with
I'm being like, we gotta chase this train, and it's really
sweet.
Cool. But there's a lot of like mayhem and action going on. Stephen Mooney, he created this, writes it and drew it. And it's just such a great looking like pulpy book, especially in the action scenes. This John Noble character, by the way, he is Captain America. He's just a more tragic Captain America.
Tragic, nice butt.
Cool. Yeah, the girl's got a butt.
That's a badonkadonk.
It's a badonkadonk.
Honky tonk.
Also, that part of the book's really funny, but. Yeah, this is like the coolest book ever.
There's dinosaurs in it. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs and tanks and Indiana Jones
and
butts.
Nazis?
Yeah,
including...
Dude, Nazis
I hate Illinois Nazis.
They're
jerks.
There is one sequence where this, like... He's like the... I don't know, the general or whatever, the Nazi.
King Nazi?
And he, like, shoots this T-Rex and kills it, and it slides right up to his feet, and he doesn't move.
I love that he kills a T-Rex with handguns.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh.
Just, like, shoots it 7 times in the head. But, yeah, without spoiling it anymore, this is just such a cool story, and I think it's either a 6 or 8 issue miniseries. I think it's 6. But just knowing that, it's like, oh, we're only halfway through. This is so awesome.
Right.
I want this to be an ongoing, we'll put it that way. Although I don't know if it'd be as awesome because they can't just stay on the dinosaur island forever.
Why not?
That's true. They can.
They
stay
stayed on the fucking island and lost forever.
That's true. Well, like only like, well, if you count time travel, like 80 years.
Only for way too long.
Yeah. Actually, technically, they were at one point. They were there during like 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
During like.
Yeah.
When they built that. Statue.
That's when they built the first condo complex on the island.
So yeah. You want to hear something comic related or movie comedy. Related, I guess? Mm-hmm. In Pacific Rim, which is a fantastic movie, there's a character named Chuck Hansen, who's one of the pilots, and he's played by a guy named Robert Kaczynski, and the whole time I'm watching the movie, all I can think of is how much he looks like Geoff Johns.
Really?
It's bizarre. Like, if you when you're watching Pacific Rim, this guy, this character...
Oh my god, yeah.
He looks so much like Geoff Johns, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he kind of does.
And the whole time I'm just like, is that... I know it's not Geoff Johns, but in my head, Geoff Johns also is a Jaeger pilot.
Jaeger bombs!
And they totally shoot those.
Oh my god!
We
were watching
bombs.
That movie for 2 hours and not
Never
once did I make a Jaeger bomb joke. God damn you, Rob.
Shame.
You're the worst.
You have two options. Go back in time, make a Jaeger bomb joke, or two, just end it.
End it.
Or three, just go home with your life.
Yeah, that's probably what you'll do.
No, I think...
All right, everybody shut up.
The Jaeger bomb joke is the highlight. Or
well,
the
I had
height
funny,
of my
comic. I had a funny thing about Half Ass Danger. It's not funny, but it's me funny.
All right, do it.
I give it 9.5 out of 10. Rock hard erections.
That's my
So, like, 9 hard rock erections is like you go to see a Van Halen concert. He's like, "Are you ready to rock?" And you're like, "Chubby."
Rock,
that's a hard rock. But hard, a rock. So, you have given 9 rock hard cocks and then, like a semi flaccid.
Yeah. Hard
like
rock erections is when you, like, hook up with a girl at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
No,
that's
rock,
very specific.
A rock
yeah,
hard
mine
erection.
Better. Mine
is,
like, yeah, Paul Stanley at Kiss.
A
sucking my dick.
A rock hard erection is how Bam Bam was conceived. That was a Flintstones joke.
You know what better? A
hard
rock erection is someone who is turned on by sedimentary.
Rock. Sedimentary.
Or
a hard rock erection is when you are going to get fucked in the ass by Dwayne Johnson. Okay, can we go? Can we get? Can we stop talking about?
If you feel what the rock is packing,
I don't want.
It's his rock hard erection.
I don't want to feel that.
So people strudel.
Guys, Dynamite. Do any of you guys other than me read any books from Dynamite?
Of course I do. I read like 3 books from Dynamite.
I probably
which ones?
Polarity, Suicide Risk, and I was reading. I read Red Team.
Okay, I don't
do
read
they,
any of those.
Do you read Red Team?
No, I read the first two, and
one.
I wish I don't know why I don't have it now.
Awesome.
I guess I probably didn't put it on my list. So.
Suicide Risk is amazing.
Do they? Do
I
they
thought
publish?
That was Boom.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Red Team.
So
is
Polarity.
Right.
Polarity and
so
Suicide
yeah,
Risk
Mr.
Boom.
Well,
hold
up, horse.
Hold
fuck
up.
It.
What else is on Dynamite?
They
have a
lot.
The Boys was on Dynamite. I read The Boys.
They have a lot of those like. Those classic licenses.
They have
like
a lot of
the
Hulk characters,
stuff
yes.
Like that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm dumb. I only
there
read
was
one.
Yeah,
there was
a book
way.
I read from Dynamite. I can't remember what the hell it was, but I really liked it.
Okay, well, I mean,
Dynamite.
I wasn't trying to shame you. I was just saying that, like, coming up, we're going to be reading a few more because 3 big-name creators have announced new series from Dynamite this year leading up to San Diego Comic-Con. The first being Peter Milligan.
Oh, he's my favorite. I love
he's
Peter
launching
Milligan.
A new book called Terminal Hero from Dynamite.
Is it a monthly book?
I think so.
I'm so happy to see him writing because all 3
I haven't read
of his
the whole
books
interview, but...
just got tanked. Obviously, Hellblazer. And then
what happened to Hellblazer? I just want you to relive it.
And then fuck you. And then Red Lanterns was done, and he was on Stormwatch, and that left. And Justice League Dark, he got booted off in 6 issues and or 8 issues, I think.
I don't want you to be alarmed, but I have bad news. I just saw a really big bolt of lightning.
Are
is
we
that
gonna
the news?
Die?
Yeah, it's the news.
Peter Milligan
it's
has written
big
so
yes,
many of my favorite series. Shade
the
Changing Man, I have all in single issues, one of my favorite books ever. The
Ooh,
Enigma is a really great miniseries.
Ooh,
the Minx with Sean Phillips got canceled, but it was really good.
Sean
Greek
the
Street
best.
With Gian Felice, I think, did that. No.
What
was it called?
It.
Greek Street.
I hate the Greek.
16 issues, and it's very good.
How do you
good.
Feel about season 2 of The Wire?
I'm oh, the Greeks are creepy.
The Greek is awesome in that show.
Yeah. But anyway, I love Pete Milligan. He also has a new Vertigo book coming out.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Terminal Hero at Dynamite.
Oh, fine.
Anyway, it looks cool. And the front, and this teaser image is the Jay Lee cover, and it's sweet.
That's so exciting. I love Pete Milligan.
Yeah.
Hey, Joey, what else is Dynamite doing?
So that was pretty cool. And then next there is one. James Robinson is bringing a book called Grand Passion to Dynamite.
I also love James Robinson.
Yeah, and this sounds pretty cool. It says it's about two wayward characters, Doc and Mabel, one a cop, the other a crook, who are fated to fall in love at first sight, even as Mabel swears she'll kill Doc if it's the last thing she does. So it's like a Harlequin romance, hard-boiled crime takeoff in a...
Sold.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so awesome. Getting it already. So that sounds great. And then, as if that wasn't exciting enough,
is
one of my favorite writers in the world, both in and out of comic books...
Dwayne Swierczynski. Am I right?
Thank you for stepping all over
that. I was
guessing,
yes, I'm sorry.
Dwayne Swierczynski,
oh.
Who is one of my favorite writers of all time. Now, he's written some great comics, but I have... And I've liked all of his comics, but I also fucking love his novels. And I've always been thinking, oh, it's weird because he's like one of the best crime novelists. I wish he would write a crime comic. It's so weird that he hasn't yet. Like, I've read a 13-issue Godzilla run from Dwayne Swierczynski, and one of my favorite runs on Cable ever. And he also was the one who took over Iron Fist when Fraction and Brew left. And it's really good.
Did he write
it over
Birds
too.
Of Prey?
Well, he also wrote some Birds of Prey. He wrote a lot of great stuff. But now he's announced X-Con at Dynamite's Crime Line. I'm so excited. Swierczynski's gonna write a crime comic. I'm so excited.
Yay!
It's gonna be the best thing.
Yay, Joey! Yay for Joey.
It's gonna be so good. And if you guys don't buy it, we're not friends anymore.
Will people punch each other in it?
Probably. It's a crime book.
Cool.
I like stuff.
I mean, they won't be fighting on top of a dinosaur like you prefer them to.
Well,
but
then fuck. Why waste your time, Dwayne?
Like, his first sentence about this was like, this is the first time I'm actually writing a full-on hard-boiled crime comic, which is strange because I've been a crime novelist for almost a decade now and love crime comics more than any other genre. I'm like, yeah, so why have this not till now?
What did you, why is the your brain doing that?
Right?
You sounded like you were me because speaking bad.
Yeah, anyway. I'm very excited to read this book.
Speaking bad is like the Talking Dead of Breaking Bad. And it's only people who've had strokes.
It's me or me
on the panel.
Because it's pretty indecipherable.
So like, what did you like when you were like starting?
I just hate I hate Jesse because
like
kind of annoying. That's me talking about Break Bad. And that's just cool.
On the next episode of Speaking Bad.
I have to go to the
bathroom. Are you going to talk about a book, or should I talk about the...
Oh, yeah, it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah, you fucking ass.
Oh, you got that.
It's so good.
I don't really have anything to say about either of these.
I got the first
I'll
one.
I'll talk about these then.
Can I just say that Savage Wolverine and Wonder Woman are both really good?
Yeah, Wonder Woman was great.
Like, I have nothing else really to say about them. Oh, look at that. Look at the way that my fingers grease.
See?
Up the covers.
Marvel books do that. It's fucking annoying.
It's because I have fat, sweaty fingers. But
I have.
Savage Wolverine looked awesome. It was a cool twist at the end. And also, Wonder Woman was really good. But I have nothing to really say about them other than, yeah, they were really solid.
Side note, is that a Dante Culpepper jersey?
It is, yeah.
Cool.
he was my favorite football player when I was really into football.
Was he even supposed to be there today?
Okay.
I read two books by Chris Roberson and Scott Kowalczyk, the ever-talented Scott Kowalczyk, with also, I gotta mention how beautiful the colors are by Dan Jackson. This is a book I'm surprised Joey didn't pick up, actually. This is a total Joey book.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick it up next week.
This is very much the TV's Avengers meets the A-Team meets the Doom Patrol. So Chris Roberson of iZombie and Monkey Brain. Apparently, I followed all of iZombie, and I really liked iZombie.
That was
I think
the
you guys
book,
would enjoy
right?
it. Yeah, I think
I read the first trade, and I thought it was great.
It is great.
It has all red on it. It could be like a 30-issue comic book about how to bake a loaf of bread. But if it's drawn by Mike Allred. Sold.
You know
Take
what?
My
there
money,
are,
sir.
There are lots of cooking mangas, so that's not completely like...
Drawn by Michael Allred?
Yes.
Yeah.
Take
my money.
Shut up and take my money.
So I saw and met and spoke with Scott Kowalczyk at Alpha Comics yesterday. He was doing a signing. And he was talking about this thing that I found really interesting. The best part of iZombie, I thought... iZombie was a book at Vertigo that got canceled around issue 24, I think. And I jumped on at issue 1. I started following it from the very beginning. I actually... There's a funny story about that. I followed that instead of American Vampire, because American Vampire was a few episodes or issues in, and I was like, well, I'm going to throw one more Vertigo book onto my file, because at the time I just want everything Vertigo, except that's a lot of money, so I'm going to get most of these books. And I went, American Vampire, I'm tired of vampires, I don't care, I didn't know anything about Scott Snyder or Raphael Albuquerque, so I went, I'm going to go with this book, iZombie, it looks cute. And I've at least read Michael Allred drawn stuff in Fables, so I picked that up instead, which was stupid. I should have just got them both because they were both incredible. American Vampire, it was one of my favorite books for Vertigo. I think I might like it a little more, but that's iZombie is a really cool reminded me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but with like a really cool eclectic cast, and there was a ghost and a were-terrier, and it was really funny. And talking monkeys, and Gwen was a zombie who ate brains, but only brains from dead people to stay alive once a month or whatever. It was a really funny concept, and it was a really charming, great book. Halfway through the book, these characters called the Dead Presidents get introduced, and basically the Dead Presidents are like Kennedy and a couple other old dead presidents whose bodies have just, or whose souls have now possessed these new bodies, and they basically go around as secret agents fighting crime.
Benjamin Franklin.
And they go around as like the, as Charlie's Angels, basically. So they've got the guy at the head who tells
the bathroom?
Them, yeah. Wait, what?
The head. The
but anyway.
Just a little bit of a joke.
And,
no!
They go out and fight paranormal weird things. And that apparently was going to be a spin-off at Vertigo or whatever. He had originally pitched it as a spin-off, but then he fell out with DC or whatever. And that's the template that he used for this book, The Strangers, is the Dead Presidents. It's obviously far different, but ultimately the premise is the same. You've got Charlie, and then you've got his angels. And in this case, they're these superheroes who go around in secret, like the Invisibles. And
I hate that I didn't buy this because
this
is 2 weeks in a row that I passed on a book, and then you guys have been like, "Yeah, this was a joy book." I'm like, "Fuck,
this is a total joy book."
Ghost is the best.
I got the privilege of actually getting to review it for Alpha.
Ooh, la di da, privilege.
I wrote a lot about it on there.
Silver spoon in your mouth.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Silver
hard to
dick
talk.
In your butt.
Silver dick in my butt.
Silver
my
rock
butt
hard erection in
up
your
here
butt. Call back.
So it was really cool. Issues 1 and 2 got released on the same day. Issue 1 came out on Free Comic Book Day, and I really liked it back then, but now getting to read it because it's a two-part storyline that intros in the book. Getting to read them both and see the conclusion of the first story and see where the book is actually going to go is excellent. It's going to be very, very episodic, very like adventure, A-team sort of driven storytelling methods, basically.
I like the A-Team.
There's really great alien designs in it. It's really fun. And the dialogue is great. The concept is great. The mystery behind all of it is excellent.
Would you say these strangers are mysterious?
They are mysterious, very mysterious.
Why
my favorite part, though,
it's such a beautiful book.
Oh my god. My favorite part, though, is absolutely Scott Kowalczyk. This guy is unbelievable. I cannot wait until he is a huge name, and this is a totally Mike Allred kind of feel that he's got.
It's an Allred mixed with Aja.
Yeah,
I see a lot of Aja.
His character designs are superb. The line work is so crisp. All of his, like the imagination in all of the character designs, so like breathtakingly brilliant, and it's so much fun to read. It is an absolute blast.
Cool.
I would highly recommend jumping on this book. Oni puts out... All the books that I read at Oni are so much fun. Like, Helheim and The Strangers are both just such a blast to read through. And also the connecting cover of issues 1 and 2. If you got issue 1 on Free Comic Book Day, then obviously you don't need to buy the one that you have to pay $4 for. However, if you don't, then you miss out on this beautiful connecting cover that features a goat head and features crazy fish aliens and a lady in a dress punching a guy in the face. And also, there, Scott was talking about how he was really annoyed at the designer putting the barcode right over there. Right on issue 2, he puts the barcode right over top of this character Sandoval's elbow, which at first, like, it doesn't really look like it would be a connecting cover, and it's kind of an integral part of the connecting cover, but it kind of gets shafted by that barcode, and the only bit that you can really
shafted
tell is connecting
by a barcode
is this
viadonic
anyway
shafted by the barcode. Okay, so like 10 minutes ago you said something that made me go look up for a quote from Children's Hospital. I can't remember what it was you said or why I looked this up, but I found the scene and we're going to listen to it because I spent 10 minutes looking for this. Maybe someone listening to this will figure out in what context I was going to say this on the show.
Wild Joey,
you did it again, Dr. Black. You brought two different kinds of people together and still managed to solve a mystery. How do you do it?
Well, I just educated them on the personalization of the struggletees of peoplehoodedness.
The struggletees of peoplehoodedness. I don't know why.
Did I say something stupid that didn't make sense? Is that why you searched
the struggletees
certain, like,
of peoplehoodedness? Is so funny.
While he was searching for that, I was listening to you like a good friend.
I was listening, but I was also like, there's a reason why I was looking this up. I can't remember what it was.
It's a book that both of you would love, and I'm surprised that neither of
you
have
it. You guys should watch Children's Hospital. It's actually pretty funny.
It's on Netflix. I'll watch it.
The first
on
issue,
American Netflix, isn't it? I don't know what
the first thing, wasn't it originally called just The Strangers?
Yeah.
And then they had to change it, probably
so,
for some, like, copyright reason. Because I think The Strangers is a thing, but I don't know. And then, second, I got the free comic day one, and I think I read, like, two panels and fell asleep. Because it was, like, really late at night.
Because it was 3 in the afternoon, and you thought it was so boring. You're just like, fuck this.
Actually, it could have been 3 in the afternoon, because I'd just, like, I'm old. Yeah. But, yeah, I remember being like, this book looks cool. I'd buy it now just for the pictures. I'm going to buy it next week.
Yes, you would love Scott.
Because I like picture books.
I
just touched Joey's toe under the
table. He did. It was pretty
odd. Are you guys going to have sex now?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
We haven't decided yet. We'd appreciate it if you'd support us now. Anyway.
I have stuff to say about the book that you're going to talk about.
I sure wish I could remember why I wanted to look that up. I bet you it would have been really funny.
I bet you 10 minutes ago I said something stupid that was a bunch of made up words.
I just educated them on the struggles of peoplehoodedness.
Hypocrisizing. That's a word that I made up. I'm going to talk about two books really quickly. One that I really don't have much to say about, which is this guy. But one that I have a lot to say about, which is this guy.
This I have some stuff to say about.
Alright, I'll share my little bit, and then you share your little bit. And then we'll talk about this one. And we'll see who has different sized bits. First one I'm going to talk about is Fantastic Four, issue 10, from Matt Fraction. Pencils by Ed Bagley Jr. Just kidding, Mark Bagley.
But Ed Bagley Jr.
Can't even grow his own hair. Come on! Every time I see Bagley, I'm like, it's Ed Bagley. This was cool. It was kind of fun. And I'm like, I love American History for some reason.
Yeah.
How about American History X?
That was an okay movie.
I never saw that movie.
It was pretty good.
It's okay.
I like good stuff.
Pretty cool.
I didn't like it as much as a lot of people did, but whatever.
Yeah, well,
I love Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah, why? Because
really? She was in Vacation.
Yeah.
Like that's why you love her?
Because she's a Griswold, dude.
She's a Griswold.
She's one of the first boobs I ever saw.
That's true.
In European Vacation?
No, first
in the first one.
Oh,
she
was
in the shower. In the shower.
Oh, right.
When Chevy Chase is filming her. Because that's creepy.
No,
he's not filming her?
It's in the first one. He comes in
she sings a song in the second one when she comes out of the shower that he videotapes. And it's a sex tape and it ends up becoming like a giant European art house sensation. Welcome to Clark W. Griswold cast.
She's still up watching.
Can
vacation,
we?
And I see her pretty face.
Takes like
me away
movie.
To a better place. And I know that.
But I do love how they finally pointed out kind of why they weren't back within 4 minutes like they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I do like how Mark Bagley draws like Sue Storm decomposing. I mean, you see bits of muscle and stuff, especially right at the start.
When they're all getting
kind of
sick
like,
and all their powers are fucking up.
Yeah, and at the start here, it's kind of creepy.
When she walks
her
in,
eye
you
and
can
her,
see
her guts, and you can see her. Is that like a thong or a pelvic bone?
That's a pelvic bone.
It looks. It's got cool design.
Right, the X-ray vision. You can see her thong.
You can see.
Well, we have our episode title. Is that a thong or a pelvic bone?
But yeah, I still like this book. I just love that it's It's been relatively self-contained, and I was ready for kind of, why aren't they back yet, basically.
Okay.
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 And Skrulls. I do really like this book. There are a couple... one thing that I was so psyched about... Actually, Joey would have been kind of psyched about it, too. Towards the end, Reed gets rid of the Skrulls. And look what he does with the Skrulls, Joey.
Yay!
Right? Call back to like issue 6 of the Fantastic Four. Where
is it actually? They get rid of
I think
Skrulls.
It's like issue 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's
like
one of the really early ones where he turns them into cows.
Which sets up the Kree-Skrull War.
Yeah.
That went so far over my head, guys.
That's like, yeah.
How far was it?
The
it
first
was so
few
far.
Episodes
it was like
of
an
Fantastic
airplane.
Four.
Midget in a porn film.
I loved that so much. That made me so happy to see that. Because I remember that was one of the first things I like raved about when I read the Stan Lee Jack Kirby Fantastic Four. I was like, oh my god, it's so amazing. Instead of getting rid of Skrulls, they just turn them into cows and make them pasteurize and just like wander around in a pasture. It's amazing. It's the best punishment I've ever heard.
Pasteurize.
That sounds like a great life.
Anyway, okay.
Punish.
So I've noticed like they're already 10 issues in. Fantastic Four, I think, booted up. When did Fantastic Four Marvel Now, when did that start?
They're once a month, so.
They are once a month. Okay, I feel like they are coming out pretty fast. There are some panels in here
that are fucking rushed.
That are really rushed.
Yeah.
And Mark Bagley is really fast.
Maybe
but
it's
there
the inks?
Is some maybe it's the
is
inks.
I think there's two inkers.
There's two inkers? Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, Mark Bagley for a book.
I'm pretty sure it's actually just some panels that were a little bit
oh,
shitty.
Holy fuck. Sorry.
But there's one or two, like Ben Franklin's face here is just retarded. Like, that's absurd. There's a few bits that Mark Bagley is not particularly great on.
You know,
and I do love Mark Bagley, and I love everything that he draws in this, except for Val and Franklin, because, again, Joey Brett Yanted them for me, and they will always look like they're in their 20s instead of, you know, 5 and 6 or whatever. Which pisses me off now because I can't get it out of my head, and every time I see them, I'm just like, "God damn!"
I will say though, most Fraction books, they could be drawn by Rob Liefeld, and I'll love them. So, I'm like, because
yeah,
his books are so much fun.
But I know what you mean. However, Mark Bagley is a tremendous artist, and it's kind of a shame to see panels that look like he's being rushed. Because when he isn't being rushed, he pulls out panels that. You know, he pulls up pages that are this,
mm-hmm.
or the page of Sue showing up, and you can see you can X-ray through her face. Like, that's a brilliant page,
mm-hmm.
a really good page. And Reed is
also
Spider-Man.
Her one eye is pointed way up, and the other one's like dead straight. And it looks funny. She's got a lazy eye.
I dig it.
She
I
got hit with some fantastic spunk right in
oh,
the eye.
Jesus.
I took that to a different place.
Jesus,
but I don't like sex because it's immoral. That book is immoral.
But
it is pretty
story-wise, I thought that this was a cool culmination of like everything that they'd done since the beginning of his run, and it's kind of now getting on the right track. Like, now everyone in the family knows why Reed sent them on this trip, why they're all gone from Earth anyway, what they're actually doing, and it's not just for education purposes, it's actually to try and save their lives, which is really interesting. It's finally come to a head, he's finally told his family. But the one complaint I had about this book is I was first really into all the writing of the Declaration of Independence pages.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 10 fucking pages. Like, they set it up at the very beginning, and then there's some Fantastic Four, and then it goes back, and then it's just Thomas Jefferson fighting with Ben Franklin and the other guy. And then it goes back to Fantastic Four, and then it's back to them.
Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin.
And Ben Franklin.
Ben
and
Franklin is
another
skull.
Guy. Ben Franklin is the Skrull, but then John Quincy Adams.
Is it John Quincy
Adams? There's
two presidents.
There's John Adams and John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams was number 6, and John Adams was number 2, I think.
Wow.
This would have been John Adams.
Yeah, I think it was John Adams because he was the.
So they're all signing the Declaration of Independence, and he goes back to it a lot of pages. He spends a lot of pages doing that, and he doesn't really cover much. He covers the amount of ground he needs to cover in the first 2 times that he does it. And he does it like another 4 or 5 times. And it's like, I don't need another page of these guys talking. I get it. Thomas Jefferson doesn't like slavery, but he's a hypocrite.
In fairness,
because he has slaves.
I would totally read a book about, like, this is how the Constitution of America was drafted.
Quincy Adams was if memory serves, John Quincy Adams was the 6th president. He was the son of the 2nd president, who was John Adams.
That's a coincidence, because I wrote a song today called Obsessive Compulsive Disorder.
It's funny you should say that, but I know that because of a song that was an Animaniacs when I was like 7.
That's why.
Which is why I can remember most of the presidents. If I sing the song in my head, I can get most of the presidents in order.
I like the...
Hi-ho, do you know the names of the U.S. residents who then became the presidents and got a view from the White House loo at Pennsylvania Avenue?
Okay, you gotta stop him now or he'll keep going. Okay, we're done.
Okay, I do like this little bit.
George Washington.
No,
the
no, I meant we're done. I was talking about... I do like this bit where Reed's like, oh, well, you know, they... He's going on about how, like,
basically... Like how Reed Richards sounds like our friend Ryan. Oh, well, yeah, I got a great idea, Sue Storm.
He goes, oh, well, the founding fathers are...
What the fuck is he saying?
People like to think they're good guys.
Wait, keep talking like that.
People think like they're good guys. But those founding fathers, you know, they weren't really that good guys.
This?
We gotta build up heroes just to make them. I haven't opened my eyes since I started doing this. What?
Anyways.
Yeah. Blues riff squiddly bop.
He basically is like, well, he's like, the founding fathers weren't really the best guys, but we make them out to be these like perfect heroes. And then he has this device in his hand that starts beeping, and then Val's like, hey, Dad's irony detector works, because they're all pissed at Reed because he's kind of a dick.
I love Val. Val is such a good character.
And then just quickly, two things about this. FF issue 9. One, Rule just realized that it wasn't all red this week.
Really?
Yeah, it was Joe Quinones. That's how much Joe Quinones is amazing.
I think Laura Allred so covers like really make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like make it pop like that, mm-hmm. like an Allred book. Well, yeah, because it is a fucking Allred book. I mean,
yeah,
it's Laura Allred,
she's an Allred.
So.
But it's and like the whole thing's just super crazy.
She's an also red.
Wait, Mike Allred married a guy named Laura Allred. I mean, a girl named Laura Allred.
I thought that the joke was you saying
I'm glad that my being stupid made my joke funnier. Ryan, just be more of an idiot, and your jokes will be funnier.
There's
a lot of truth to that. Pops.
Wait, keep talking like that. I'm gonna go get the guitar.
Script that's little baby barrel.
This book is so awesome. And there's
the pool fight.
Yeah, it's just a pool party with like the half of it is Bentley.
So adorable.
Bentley 23 showing his movie that he thinks is a masterpiece, and all I thought of was Brand. But
was what?
Brand. Because he's like, this is my masterpiece.
You know what I think of whenever someone shows like their masterpiece movie? I just think of Napoleon Dynamite, where this is pretty much the worst movie ever made. Napoleon, like anyone could even know that. He films that video of him like throwing a football.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty much the worst thing I've ever seen. Napoleon, like anyone could even know that.
I just like when he's like, I'm an auteur. And then he does the total like, oh, hello, I didn't see you there.
My favorite part of this issue was when Black Bolt's kid... like gets really mad because he gets splashed,
yeah,
and then he decides to charge into the pool, shouting "Cannonball!" And all I can think is Ron Burgundy,
yeah,
Cannonball!
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I love all the Kirby dots in this.
Who's picture. Excited for Anchorman 2?
It looks
I am.
Really funny.
I'm so excited.
Christian Wiig's in it.
Movie.
Yeah,
and Harrison
I
Ford.
Love
Christian Wiig playing Anchorman. Like the girl version of Brick.
Oh my god, it's gonna be amazing.
I like the part of your face that covers your skin, or no, I can't remember the line, but it's really funny. Anyways, this book is just so cool all the time, and it's really fun. And they're finally like, let's find out where the Fantastic Four went, because it's been weeks.
Let's go find out where the fuck they went.
Yeah. I adore this book. This book is always so fun.
Yeah, awesome. Very good.
And like I said, Joe Quinones is awesome, and you know, like the best villain artist for this book.
Yeah.
This
should have got my felt. Moving on.
I would still buy it. Matt Fraction.
Yeah. That's
all I
have.
I would give those books out of 20 Rock.
Actually, I
didn't have
a book I need to talk about.
Like an 18.
And it'll segue into a book that Ryan read. And I don't know if you read it also, Rob, but we could talk about it.
It's,
yeah.
It's far.
Batman 66.
I have it on my computer, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay, well,
I
you won't spoil it, but.
Last week when you were talking about it, I downloaded it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, part 3 came out usually this week, and then all 3 parts came out together in the issue
this
week
this was
in print.
Just part 1.
No, it's
oh, no,
1, 2, and 3.
So what did I get? I downloaded. The digital version. What did I get?
You which one did you get?
I don't know. Why there was only one called Batman 66.
Okay, well,
it was probably this whole thing.
No, it wasn't. No. You downloaded it last. Basically, this comic that Ryan is holding collects the first three parts,
oh,
which
so it's like
have been the last 3 weeks. It's exactly like that. So,
yeah, or like Adventures of Superman.
So part three came out yesterday. Last week when I talked about it, part one and two were out.
Shit!
Anyway, it was awesome. So this week finishes this Riddler story, and Catwoman teams up with Batman and Robin to go in and stop the Riddler from finding this piece of art. It's one of the first digital comics I've read, though, that I actually think works better digitally because of the way that they... Like, they're actually using digital to have the way that the words appear, the way the art appears, actually enhance the storytelling.
Sorry, I'm pointing to an ad that
makes from
me
a different book.
Really happy.
Yeah?
It's a monthly?
And they're actually making it a monthly series.
Wasn't it already?
No, it was just like a digital every once in a while.
For the record, it is Batman Lil Gotham.
Batman Lil Gotham!
I have issue 1 and 2.
Lil Gotham!
I have all 4, and now I'm so happy. I hope that means... Oh my god, yeah, I'm so happy. Sorry to interrupt you.
Cool.
Jonathan Case is amazing.
Fuck yeah, he
Jonathan
really
Case
is. He's so awesome. And which is really weird, because I'm pretty sure that the only Jonathan Case comic I've read prior to this is... He did the art for The Creep.
Yeah, didn't he do a bunch of
that?
Control
like,
too?
Richard Case.
Oh, he also I don't think he did. He did some House of Night, but I read House of Night, but he also did. He did the art for a graphic novel called Green River Killer.
I know
which
that
was
book.
This awesome noir true crime story. And he did The Creep, which is another like noir. And now he's doing like madcap Batman craziness, and he's a fantastic artist. And I would never have guessed that he'd be such a perfect fit for this book, but he really is. He also did some Guild comics.
I wish
that this was the Eartha Kitt Catwoman.
No. Because
here's the thing about Eartha Kitt.
I prefer Julie
Dumas. And airplane bathrooms. That was a Community joke.
Was it?
From the one with the multiple timelines. And every time lunch... Every timeline, Chevy Chase finds a way to bring up the fact that he had sex with Eartha Kitt in the airplane bathroom. It's really funny.
Speaking
of bathrooms.
As far as Community goes, that multiple timelines episode, I actually don't like that episode very much, but I love that it exists. I love that Community was a show that would do something
was
like
that.
Season 3? Even though I didn't think it was like super successful, I just really thought it was awesome that it existed.
I don't think I've seen all of season 3.
I haven't seen all of season 3.
I'm going to admit something that I think a lot of people are going to hate me for.
That you don't like Community then?
No, I like Community.
You don't love it.
I really don't love it. Like, I like Community.
I like Parks and Recreation, but I don't love it.
Yeah, fair. But Community seems like the show that like all of our group of friends is just like, oh my god.
You know what though? It kind of it bugged me that like people jumped on like Community is like the new Arrested Development. I was like, I like Community a lot, but it is not even in the same universe as Arrested Development.
I like Community a lot when it's I almost like it more when it's not being written by Dan Harmon, because Dan Harmon has this really bad habit of going so far up his own ass.
No,
like,
those are the only ones that are good.
Me nuts.
That's why I refuse to watch season 4, because that show without Dan Harmon is
season 4
pointless.
Had some of my favorite episodes.
Utterly pointless. The whole reason I liked that show was because of Dan Harmon, so...
Yeah, I think I liked it for the same reason.
I just think Dan Harmon's such like an insufferable prick.
I love Dan
Harmon. I just can't really rewatch the first half of season 1. Half of season 1 was...
Dan Harmon is way too good and way too funny and way too talented for network television.
Yeah.
Like, really, He's NBC does not deserve to have... Dan Harmon shouldn't want it. It really doesn't. Anyway,
hey,
I'll disagree.
You know who you'd really like? He's actually one of the producers and one of the writers on Parks and Rec. He's on Comedy Bang Bang a lot, and he's
What's
like a huge fish head. His name's Harris Whittles.
Oh yeah, doesn't he do the podcast Analyze Fish with Scott Aukerman?
Yeah,
Harris Whittles.
Harris Whittles is so, and he's also in the band called Don't Stop or We'll Die with Paul Rust and someone else, and he's so funny. And he's on an episode of Parks and Rec in one bit where it's in an episode where Aubrey Plaza, I always forget her character's name.
April?
April, thank
April
you.
April Ludgate.
April fills in for Leslie.
Yeah.
And she like copies all of her, like wears her pantsuit and stuff, and there's some dirty hippie wearing a fish shirt who stands up and asks a stupid question, and that's Harris Whittles, and he's one of the funniest comedians.
Yeah, he's a writer also for the Sarah Silverman program.
Yeah, he's so
Everybody
funny.
Pants
Harris Whittles. Apparently, I was listening to a Comedy Bang Bang where he was talking where working at the Sarah Silverman program in the writer's room, a lot of times like when apparently they were getting like close to whether or not they were going to get canceled, and they had no ideas, Harris Whittles would just like stand up and take off all of his clothes and they just dance around the writer's room completely naked. So Sarah Silverman has like a bunch of naked pictures of this asshole on her phone just because he got bored and didn't know what any funny jokes to write. And he's like, yeah, well, I feel like if I don't have any good jokes, like my dick is always funny, right?
Keep talking. Hey, we'll just listen to the theme song while we talk. Comedy bang bang, comedy bang bang, comedy bang bang, comedy bang bang, comedy bang bang. One of the best shows on television.
It is, yeah, like, absolutely. One of the funniest comedy shows ever made.
I would bet money comedy on it. Bang, in fact, bang, I did. Ask my bookie.
Comedy bang bang, comedy bang bang.
Ask my bookie. That's my bookie. That's my bookie. Thanks, bookie.
Fuck, it's such a good show.
I still love the bit with, no, I'm going stag. Oh, dear.
Have you seen episode one of season two
yet? Not yet. It's on my computer to watch.
Oh, my God. It's so funny.
Come into bang, bang.
Okay.
Come into bang, bang.
Hey, should I talk about a comic? Are we done talking about this one?
Yeah.
It was cool.
I'm now done until we get to our favorites, so you guys enjoy the show.
Yeah, me too. I've got one more. I have three that were good, but I've got nothing to say about them. Do you want to talk about any of the previews from here?
Not really.
Okay,
that one book looks like Fable.
Unless you want to.
I'll go over them really quick. Okay,
so he doesn't want to. We're going to.
So this is the
Vertigo. Hang on, let me get my copy.
This is the Vertigo 2013 preview book. Vertigo was the comic imprint that got me into reading comics, that got me into reading monthly comics. I think if I named my top five favorite series, four of them at least would be Vertigo books. And then the other one would be... Oh man, I felt.
See, here's the thing.
Like, being a teacher.
He could throw a football, but Dante Culpepper sure could not play the guitar.
It's good.
But I'm hoping a teacher, so I didn't do a good job.
I just wanted to comment on your technique.
Was it bad?
No, it was fine. I was joking.
No, it was bad. You just done.
Anyway. Okay.
Kidding. It was good.
Yeah. Okay, so Vertigo has always been.
Go ahead. No, read. Talk about your books.
Vertigo's always been my favorite
keep it talking
imprint, and I was really, really sad, and I've talked about it before on this show, where with the cancellation of Hellblazer, I was really, really upset because I thought that it was possibly a sign that Vertigo was going to be going under. But it is not the case. So they're, with Shelley Bond is now their head editor, they're back. With books like The Wake, we're all reading The Wake.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Astro City is one of my favorite series ever. You guys
ever read
Astro City? Brother Lono already spoke about.
Preach!
American Vampire, really good. Good series. Are you guys going to be... Okay, now here's a book I actually want to talk about.
I am going to get Clatter, yes.
You're going to get
Clatter? I probably will.
Okay.
Because Simon Oliver's awesome.
Simon Oliver is awesome. And these preview pages by Robbie Rodriguez look fantastic. Plus, there was a quote in the promo for it that says it's like a mashup of Bruce Springsteen and Kurt Vonnegut. So sold.
I like both of those things.
Are you guys getting Trillium?
Yes, I'm getting Trillium. I'm
definitely getting Trillium, a new 8-issue series from Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire doing something. His own stuff is amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something that I told Joey earlier today that you'll probably hate me for. I'm not a big fan of Jeff Lemire's art.
Yeah, you're nuts.
It's just not my style. I think it's really good. I just don't like
Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent are my favorites.
You're kidding. That's like me going, you know who I like is Francesco Franco.
I think Ryan likes Michael Allred.
I like Matt Kent more than I like Jeff Lemire's art. I actually really like Matt Kent, which is weird.
Matt Kent is.
I like Francesco Francavilla better than both of them.
Now, have you guys read any Sandman?
Better than both.
Any Sandman? I read the first trade.
I haven't read anything.
Sandman is one of the best comic series ever. It's always going to be like. Broadcast as like one of the magnum opuses of comics. It's one of the best series you have to read, and they say it for a reason. It's really, really, truly brilliant.
Isn't J.H. Williams the third one who's doing like Batgirl or Batwoman?
Batwoman, yeah. And he did Seven Soldiers of Victory with Grant Morrison, and he did Promethea with Alan Moore. He's a genius. Absolute brilliant, brilliant artist. Some of the best layouts in comics. And the 6-issue... prologue. Mm-hmm. Right?
Prequel,
thank you.
Prelogue.
Sandman Overture, Neil Gaiman and J.H. Williams III. I'm very excited for that. Dead Boy Detectives, spinning out of Sandman.
Have you read Brubaker's Dead Boy Detectives?
I have them in single issues.
I think I have the trade that they reissued, but I haven't read it yet. I also figured, like, I haven't read the Sandman where they show up. So I thought I would read Sandman first, and then I would read their book. But I'm taking forever
to
do
that. When they show up in Sandman, they're very cool characters. So I'm probably gonna I'm gonna follow Dead Boy Detectives. It's a monthly. I think Toby Litt is the writer, and Mark Buckingham is doing the layouts.
I like Mark Buckingham.
Everyone,
but once again, I've never read Sandman, so I'm like.
Yeah, don't. Yeah,
I gotta read.
The Witching Hour is like their new one shot. They always do one of those, short story anthology books. Yeah. This one is a horror one with Kelly Sue DeConnick, Cliff Chang, Lauren Bukes, who's amazing. Just had The Shining Girls just came out, and her arc on Ferris was my favorite arc so far. Emily Carroll, Matthew Sturgis with Jack of Fables, and he's doing Four Norsemen of the Apocalypse and. A book that you Ryan would love. Matthew Sturgis, he's so funny. Sean McManus is fantastic. Tula Lotte, I don't know who that is.
She sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
This is actually the monthly series that I'm most excited about. Is the new Peter Milligan, Leo Fernandez monthly series called The Discipline, and it sounds like a mix between The Minx, which was another Pete Milligan book, and like a weird Philip K. Dick thriller. Like it sounds.
Did you say
awesome.
It was a thrilling dick?
A dick thriller.
It kind thriller, of. It, thriller, it, I'm not gonna lie. Just from that like little description there, it kind of it's like it's a comic book Fifty Shades of Grey, but better
what?
Written.
A sexy thriller about a working class young woman who now lives in the high life in Manhattan, but when she is seduced by a mysterious stranger, she enters a world that neither her blue collar past nor her wealthy Park Avenue present could possibly have prepared her for.
Now,
because
just
for Milligan,
that
it's going to be no,
and because it's called The Discipline, I'm like, oh, it's just going to be people beating each other up and having sex like in 50 Shades of Grey, and like soccer moms are just going to flick the beam.
Have you ever?
It.
Oh Jesus! Have you ever read any Peter Milligan? Like his stuff is really dark and creepy and like
that's embarrassing.
And he's one of the most underrated voices in comics. Like
who?
Pete Milligan. All of his stuff kind of got overshadowed by like guys like Morrison and Gaiman. But during the British invasion, like when Vertigo basically, you know,
when they fought on the seas and oceans,
brought everybody over. Pete Milligan was like the quietest of them. But everything he's written has been brilliant. There's this post-apocalypse kind of book called Hinterkind by Ian Edginton. Edgington, thank you. I'm an idiot. He's a novelist, isn't he?
He is.
And Francesco Francavilla. Trifogli, I'm just kidding. Trifogli.
It just looks like fables.
I know, and it looks so good, though.
It looks cool, but I'm
yeah,
the
actually,
mind
I'm lying.
Like,
he's not a novelist. Or if he is a novelist, but he's actually more famous. He only has one novel, and he's more famous for writing comics. He's been writing comics for, like, 25 or 30 years.
Oh, really? I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he wrote, like, a ton of British stuff. He wrote stuff for Dark Horse, like, a bunch of books for Dark Horse. He wrote some Marvel stuff. He wrote, like, a bunch of Blade and Wolverine and X-Force, wrote a lot of X-Force, stuff like that.
The faces in this book, especially the eyes of the preview pages we get, actually look a lot like David Gianfelice, however you pronounce his name. He's a great artist, by the way, from Northlanders and the recent arc of Conan. So I'm definitely going to be picking
up
that
book. Read some of his comics.
And there's another monthly book called Coffin Hill, and I have no idea what it's about. But
that was cool.
Yeah, the art looks great, and I'm a big dork for Vertigo books.
You are a big dork.
Yay! What about... Oh, he wants a high five. Please give it to him. Okay.
Sorry.
And then a monthly book by Lee Bermejo, like scripting and doing art. Lee Bermejo is such
Is it Bermejo? Because I always knew it was like Bermejo.
Bermejo?
Bermejo!
It's probably that. I've been saying Bermejo forever.
It's probably,
I mean,
probably
the anglicized
Bermejo.
Pronunciation.
It's Bemidji. Like,
I would assume it's
Bemidji,
Bermejo.
Minnesota.
Lee B-Town is doing a book called Suiciders.
Lee Bemidji, Minnesota.
Starting in December.
Lee Sobieski.
Lily Sobieski.
Kobe Savigny is writing
Kobe
a book Savigny. Called Suiciders.
Yeah.
Kobe Smulders.
Oh, Barack Obama is writing a book called
Suiciders.
That's
the girl who plays Maria Hill in the Avengers, and she's
Her
Robin
name
Schabotsky.
Is Kobe Smulders?
Yeah. She's Robin Schabotsky in How I Met Your Mother.
Robert?
Robin.
Yep. And
I can't remember. Never mind.
This is going to be a cool, like, street-level sci-fi is how it's described. And
that's such a weird contradiction of terms, eh? Street-level sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out.
I mean,
I got my iPad and I'm a gangster.
I think when he says
that's
street
sci-fi.
Level, I think he means like very literally, like it's taking place on in like on the street.
No, I know what he means. I get it.
Okay, and then we get to the part towards the end that's more about books that are already coming out. There's an original graphic novel for The Unwritten that I know Joey will get.
I will.
And then The Unwritten Fables, the crossover that I spoke
we'll
about last week,
that
is already off to a great start. And gets into Fables, and the Fables Encyclopedia.
Which I'm totally going to buy.
Oh, absolutely. I'm buying it.
Just because.
And then talks a little bit about Ferris and the Ferris original graphic novel.
Look at that side boob.
But anyway,
that's the
end of the Vertigo previews book, which I'm so excited about. I'm excited. I'm totally following
it. And that was Rob's favorite for this week.
That was my favorite.
So do we have more books, or are we...
I have one more.
Sorry,
hold on. I'm going to go quick, really quick, through four books. And it's
while you're doing
four books. Burp.
Rob, join me.
Come on, theme music, guys.
Yeah.
I read What If, AVX, issue 2, Jimmy Palmiotti, and Jorge Molina. This is the book that had two inkers that I was thinking about earlier. It was much better than the first one, and I kind of liked the first one.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
A lot of things cool happened. Thor got a Thunder God Bomb Part 4, issue 10, Jason Aaron and Sid Rebitch. Also fucking awesome. Avengers, issue 16. Hickman and Spencer Casselli was really
That's
cool.
Me on the guitar there.
Ultimate Spidey was also great.
Listen to me rocking it.
That was maybe like, I want to talk about these books. They're good.
Well,
I read a lot of books, and they were all very good this week. I didn't read a bad book.
Then it's... So Rob's going to talk about this shitty book, and then we'll...
I got it. Justice League of America, issue 6. Things happen. People punch each other. There's Shazam.
And there's bad inking.
And some really bad
inking in that book.
Okay. So part 2 of Trinity War. Part 1 of Trinity War was almost my favorite last week. Part 2 of Trinity War, the story is equally as good, and I think so, equally as compelling and entertaining and interesting. Really great characterization of everybody in this book.
Dr. Light?
Yep.
Ah, I forgot about that.
Jeff Johns is killing it story-wise. Jeff Lemire, I think, is co-writing this arc. I love Martian Manhunter's even really little minimal parts that he plays. The beginning talks about the secret society, which is getting more interesting. There's a comedy bang bang ad at the end.
A what?
Yeah. And we see the first instance of the question actually showing up. We also see how the Justice League Dark ties into the story at all. What happens in regards to Superman is really, really... well handled, really interesting. But this book, this particular issue, was legitimately hard to read. Now, Doug Monkey is one of the best pencilers over at DC. But for some fucking reason, they put an army of inkers on him. And some of the inkers that they put on him, I think, just take like a fat Sharpie and just like...
Yeah,
that's weird. What he did.
They're not
it's bizarre how inconsistent this one issue is from page to page. It's
pathetic.
Really weird.
Like, it's so annoying because there's pages where his art is totally shines, and you can tell that it was either inked by him or someone who has inked his stuff before. There are other pages that actually just look like some asshole went into my comic with a fat Sharpie and just went over top of Shazam's face. So
yeah, sorry about that.
Now I ripped on the actual.
Oh, dudes, I'm sorry. This is totally unrelated, but I made me really happy. It'll cheer you up. The first two episodes of the new season of Whose Line Is It Anyway have aired.
Mm-hmm. Both of them have aired?
Okay. Yeah.
You know the thing about Whose Line Anyways?
I don't.
It's a game where the points don't matter. Wait, how was the line go? I fucked it up.
Welcome to Whose Line Is Anyway, where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
But when you look here, if you look at this first...
That's right, the points don't matter, just like a major DC crossover.
Oh!
Boom!
Bada bing! Rob's just like, no, but if you look here, we're all just like,
jokes. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Sorry,
no, nothing. Totally I already made my point.
Honestly, I would have been way more interested in what you were saying, but before we recorded, you showed it to me and we talked about it. And I was like, he's right. So now I'm like, I've already heard this. I'm going to move on to something else.
No, that's good.
I do wish I was reading that crossover.
It's a really great story. I like
the crossovers.
I'm enjoying it a lot, and I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying it, actually. But unfortunately... Man, I mean, they got three of the best artists at DC to work on it. They got Doug Monkey, Ivan Reis, and Michael Janin. But I don't, like, throughout the Green Lantern run, it was the same problem. I don't know who the fuck they're getting to ink Doug Monkey like that, but they're doing it poorly.
Yeah.
Like, really poorly. Okay, I'm done.
Comedy bang bang. So, guys.
Comedy bang.
Are we talking about our favorites now? Is it our
favorite
set?
Go. Do what you do.
No, I'm asking, so I don't have anything.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Our... favorites. We like comics. We like them a lot. We read them every week. And we touch our own butts.
And then we put our butts in a microwave.
And they bubble and they burst. And the feet pain is insane.
The feet pain.
Don't you worry, because I put it in the ice box afterwards. And sometimes a bit of ice gets stuck in my butt.
And then I make iced tea, and I give it to my friends, and I take the ice from the freezer, and they throw up the end.
But not the end, because then I take the iced tea, pee, and they pee it in a cup, and I go like, hey, would you like some of this apple juice? And then they say,
yes, and because they're gonna say that my name is Joey G, and I'm here to stay. Sorry, I only wanted us to keep going so Rob can go get the guitar. And I want to point out that I said yes and before I said my bit. Hillary's laughing at our own jokes. Yes, and my name is Joey, and I'm here.
Did I do my breakfast rap yet? I did that last week, didn't I?
Your breakfast rap? Like a McDonald's breakfast?
Yeah, where I was like, I don't like... No, wait, what is it? My name is Ryan, and I don't like to boast, but my favorite breakfast is French toast. I'm so glad that
hit me with the
now
beat.
Been boom. Twice on this fucking podcast.
Did you hear my beat? I just went boof.
Did you know that Stephen Colbert guest starred on
Whose Line Is It Anyway? I remember that episode. On which what?
Two times on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I remember.
Whose Line? No, let's do a new spinoff where we only do improvs about fishing, and it'll be called Whose Line Is It Hemingway?
I thought you were going for a joke about line, like fishing line.
No, seriously, I'm going to get a job writing for Mad Magazine with this kind of thing.
Whose line is it, Hemingway?
For whom the bell rolls. It's just a bell rolling.
Fucking Jesus Christ. Why is it a fishing show?
Genius.
Because the word line was in it?
No, because of the old man in the sea, he goes fishing. Or how about
oh yeah.
Hey, kid, it's time to get up. You're going to be late for school. The sun also rises. It's like, the bank is foreclosing on our ranch. A farewell to farms.
I like the idea of
a dad
wrestling with his kids, and they're on the ground, and they're like, oh, are you guys okay? And the daughter gets up, and she's like, oh, I'm totally fine. And then just epically slow motion. The sun also rises.
And the guy's just like, oh, man, I've had such a cold all day, blowing his nose to have and have snot.
Oh, jeez.
Seriously, Mad Magazine's Whose Line Is It Hemingway special is coming out, and it's going to be huge.
What's another Hemingway book?
I'm trying to think of it, to be honest. I've only read a handful.
Or just a guy stabbing a mockingbird.
That's Harper Lee.
Yeah.
The last page was just a special guest page by Ryan Hetherington. He's like, right? And I was just like, don't tell him. And then you open the last page, and it's like one of those talking magazines that goes, man, they're sweet in the man.
Or like a fly, but he's got like this big lord crown.
Again, you're just like picking random books now and attributing them to Ernest Hemingway.
Or a ring. But he's got his big lord crown.
or.
Jesus God. I drooled so much.
So, there's this pig, right? And then his dad gets killed by his uncle, and it's just his Hamlet. Wow, you really like that. Yes.
An omelet made of ham. What?
That's not what I
was... That wasn't the joke.
That would just be called a ham omelet.
Or this lady's driving and she's in the McDonald's drive-thru, but her name's Beth, and she's like, I'll have the Macbeth. That one kind of worked.
Yeah, okay.
Or this guy who... likes math, but he also loves the Beastie Boys album License to Ill, the Illy ad.
I hate you so much.
Okay, last one before we move on. This guy is this
name
old,
Jew,
just
name
this,
Romeo is
just
like,
this old
I
guy
you,
standing
Judy
in the bathroom, yet. And he's just like, oh, my prostate, and he's trying to pee and he can't. It's called The Old Man on the Pee. So that one is Hemingway, you fucking idiot.
Or a racist Romeo and Juliet. That took a dark turn, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
What was your favorite, Joey? But
you, sir, Ryan Hetherington is my favorite this week.
Thank you.
Okay, but no, seriously, he's not. My favorite this week was...
Man, I really hate my car alarm. I'm going to get rid of it. A farewell to a alarm.
Oh! I think I like the bank for closing on the farm too.
That's pretty good.
They're both good. You know, seriously, while we were doing all this shtick, we really should have just been listening to a little comedy banquet.
Yeah.
Okay, not this time, though. All right, so my favorite this week was from Dynamite, which we mentioned earlier, Gail Simone. I haven't read a Gail Simone book in a long time. In a long time!
The movement is very
Lisa
good.
Won.
Gail Simone's movements are very good.
Yeah, well, she also did a book with Walter Giovanni called Red Sonja, and I got the cover that Fiona did.
Rouge Sonja.
And it's very good. I mean, I don't really know what to tell you. If you like books like Conan, if you like Sword and Sorcery, you'll probably like this. Like, it was really good.
I was listening to a Hollywood Babylon where Kevin Smith was talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and about his autobiography. He's like, "Did you fuck Red Sonja?" And I was like, "Hey, it's a book."
But I don't know if this is a character with any like history or not, but she introduces like a nemesis for Red Sonja called Dark Anissia, who's pretty cool. She looks. I don't know. She's got a cool horse with like a unicorn mask on. It's all fucky. And so Red Sonja basically just gets recruited by this king who once saved her life to help them defend their borders from these invaders.
Yeah, borders.
Yeah, from the Zamorans.
Get rid of those abortions.
Anyway, isn't that panel awesome? Look at the expression on that, on the face in that panel. It's awesome. So I really like the art in this book, and I just love reading Robert E. Howard stuff, and this is no exception. It's really, really good. So, I don't know if these guys are reading it, but...
I probably should.
Yeah, and, like, this was a hard one to pick because... I mean, that cover, because it was such a good cover, but there was five regular covers, and they were all so good, but I had to go with Fiona Staples.
There's a really cool Jenny Frison one.
Yeah, and there's a really good Amanda Connor one.
What's just the one like, that was... There's a Phantom Variant one that was really cool.
Yeah, too. Agnes Garbowska, I think her name is. I can't remember. She's at the Comic Con.
I may actually go back and pick this up.
It's worth reading. I think you'd like it. If you're liking Conan, you'll like this.
I really do like Conan.
So it's really good, and Gail Simone is going to do a great job. So I'm happy. All right, Robbie G.
My favorite was Fables number 131, the part one of Camelot, the new story arc after Cubs in Toyland and Snow White, because Cubs in Toyland and Snow White both ran congruently, and there's huge. I'm not going to spoil it. Don't worry. There's just huge spoilers at the end of Cubs, and there's huge spoilers at the end of Snow White, and their timelines were linked up. So like. Even though finished Cubs, so technically you were at the same time chronologically as I was over the past like 7 or 8 months or however many months since Cubs, almost a year. And so much crazy status quo, completely changing events happened in those two arcs specifically. And Camelot is the first one to really pick up post that. The last issue was a Barry Kitson fill-in that had to do with... the woodland creations of Geppetto having a child. Like, it was a great, great little fill-in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's really good. But this one is now a lot about Rose Red, a lot about the very last page that you see in Cubs, very much about the last page you see in Snow White. So, tons of crazy shit is going on in the Fables universe.
That shit cray.
It has to do a lot with the Dr. Swinehart, which I really like, and he has a really funny rapport with the nurse that comes back about how she like had this huge crush on him and how he thinks that he's basically talking to her like someone with no emotion would talk to someone who has a crush on them who doesn't understand social interaction. It was really funny, but it was my favorite this week. Because out of all the books that I got this week...
it was your favorite?
No, it was like... it was the best one. No, you know how you'll read single issue comics and sometimes... You get about halfway
you
through,
like
and then
the
like when you actually get to the end, you feel like you accomplished something,
and you're
like,
"Ah, that was my favorite one."
No, and you get to the end, and you're totally, like, where you start counting the pages almost.
Yeah.
Not that you disliked it, but it's like you get through, like, "Oh, okay, I'm on the last page now. Like, I'm almost done. Then I can finally continue about it." But the last page of Fables. Bummed me out because I was like, oh, I could read this book forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reread it immediately after. Just like, it was the only book this week that I really felt I could have just been reading forever. And I really just love that series so much. I felt it warranted another pick. So I gave it to Fables.
It's like when you read a book.
And it's your favorite.
What do you mean? I think so.
And it's
I'm think so?
You like
think so.
You did your best to make General Pudding Pop.
You guys are
Rodney.
You want some? I'll tell you later.
Pudding Pop.
I'm really excited.
Rob's just like, fuck you.
I think that I think it's a 19th trade at this point. It hasn't been solicited yet. I wonder when it's going to come out. I hope so soon.
The Snow White trade?
Yeah.
That should probably come out in like a month or so, a couple months.
Yeah.
It'll be out soon. They pump those books because that's where all their sales figures come from. No one buys the singles.
Yeah.
People buy trades.
That's a lot of money.
For that book trades. Specifically, for Fables, more than any, more than most books.
Lots more than most people even.
I have a really good book thing. Okay, this guy, his name is Steve, and he's got a crown on his head, but he's also standing beside this sign that has, like, a chair with the red, like, don't smoke thing. But it's don't chair, don't sit, because it's Stephen King's The Stand.
I like how the title of the book to you is Stephen King's The Stand.
Because if I just said The Stand, it'd be like, it's not a chair.
No, we'd get it. We still would have got it. Like, I think that you're... I'm a little insulted that you didn't... That you thought me and Rob wouldn't have got that.
I'm saying the readers...
He's like, Joey and Rob are really stupid. They'll never...
Oh my god, here's a great one. It's a picture of anything at all, and it just says it.
Pennywise.
Fuck off.
It shows the bass player from Pennywise being, like, dead.
Pointing to himself.
He is dead, right?
He's super dead.
I knew one of them was dead because they wrote a bro him.
Oh my god.
I love
so
that their
funny.
Tribute to their friend is an instrumental. It's just
well,
like,
no,
we don't have any
words.
Words.
That's what's
really?
So funny about
the
that
bro
song.
The bro him tribute?
This is.
Oh yeah.
Can I do a bit of plugging? Can I plug?
Right,
this is the section of the show where we do plugs.
Do it.
Butt plugs.
Butt plugs. Every Monday at the Ship and Anchor until the end of August, I will be hosting, or I have been hosting so far.
And we'll continue to host.
Continue to host the punk rock sing-along acoustic fun time.
You need a better title.
Robin Eric's acoustic punk rock sing-along fun time.
Okay.
Because it sounds like Robin Eric or Tim and Eric.
Why don't you just call Comedy Bang Bang?
Comedy Bang Bang.
Monday night punk rock Stephen King's The Stand.
Anyway, what about it?
That was an
I was going to learn a cover for Bro Him. And I went and I was like, there's no words to this song, like, but there's an actual verse. There's more than just
Pennywise bass player while he's dead. Yeah,
but anyway, all I was trying to say
I don't know what he sings because he just goes
Pennywise isn't great. But it's really funny because I was like, no, there's no words to the song. And then Eric, who is the guy who accompanies me, he's like, I'm pretty sure there's at least he's not dead. And I was
we
Googled it. There's actually words to that song beyond woe.
Yep.
Wow.
So instead, we made that the song that everyone chants when you're supposed to take a shot or drink or something. Whoa.
They should just have a Keanu Reeves remix.
Whoa. No kung fu.
Anyway, Ryan, I think it's actually your turn to talk about your favorite. You can talk about your favorite, or am I going to close the show?
I'm done. Yes, I'm going to talk about my favorite. It's Deadpool issue 13. No build up today. He's talking, jiving, taking lives.
Did Scott Kolish draw this issue?
Yes, he did.
Love Scott
Kolish. Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn are the writing. Val Staples was the colorist, which gets a shout out because it's super retro, like where the colors just dots.
Kirby dots.
Well, no, that's
like,
just
I know, but I just heard the word dots and I got excited.
And it's like, oh. It's such a beautiful book. It's just like that previous issue. I think they claimed was from the 60s. This one they claim is from the 70s.
Nice.
And it essentially is a team up, a Marvel team up, if you will, between Deadpool, Iron Fist,
and Power Man,
the Heroes for Hire.
Cool.
Essentially, what happens at the start here is Deadpool sees an ad that says Heroes for Hire. He says, "I'm a hero and I'm for hire," so he decides that he's going to make them hire him. On the way there, he beats up what he thinks is like the baseball gang from the Warriors. But it turns out it's just a softball team that's also going to a Kiss concert. Oh, it's so ridiculous. And then he goes to the Heroes for Hire, crashes through the window, and they're like, "You have to pay for our window." And then there's this lady who's like, "Oh, my husband was killed
by this guy. He's this really evil pimp, and his name is the White Man, which of course
leads as opposed to a very nice pimp.
He's like a nice pimp, and then
he's a good guy.
It's just a lot of them being like making white man jokes, and then Deadpool at one point goes, "Let's not get racial and just assume because he's a pimp he's white." But anyway, so then the Heroes for Hire and Deadpool kind of worms his way, and they agree to help this lady who keeps talking about her beautiful daughter, who it turns out is just like this, like, it feels weird to say this, but just like really hot girl.
I think she's not real, Ryan.
Carmelita, I know, but I would do her. Anyway, so the Heroes for Hire, they like fake working at this this bodega that these people own, and they're waiting for like for the white man to show up, and then Deadpool has his plan where he's going to try to shake them down for money, and then the white man will show up after. So it's just really funny because it's like Iron Fist in his costume with those giant yellow fins on his shoulders, but acting like he works at a bodega, along with Power Man with his yellow fluffy shirt and his like headband.
That's
and shit.
Awesome.
And eventually, the white man's men show up and take Deadpool to him,
and he's
literally just a white man. Like in a white suit, a really white man in a white suit who just keeps hitting Deadpool with his cane. And then, long story short, there's a sex scene with Deadpool and the daughter, which is really funny and not very Marvel-y. This is very, very like.
Oh my god! There's a picture of a beaver.
The train going into the tunnel.
Family friendly. There we go.
Rocket lifting off. There's like a one
an
panel
explosion
of
at the end of Kamasutra.
Yeah, and like a volcano.
Wow, they were really allowed to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Jesus,
yeah.
That's so funny.
It's really, and like the thing going in the light bright. And then Luke Cage walks in and goes, "Sweet Christmas! Oh mama, I knew you were a creep."
That was a very racist impression right there. But that's okay.
He always says Sweet Christmas.
But he also goes in this, at one point Deadpool gets really pumped because he gets called the Jive Turkey by...
Wait a minute, is it racist to impersonate like a 70s blaxploitation character?
It wasn't an actual complaint.
The greatest commercial in the history of the world is the Tell 'em Steve Dave Dollar Shave commercial.
Yeah.
With Sunday Jeff as Dollar Shave.
That's pretty good.
Then there's also one part where they break into this room and Iron Fist goes, "Hiya!" And Power Man goes, "Cage is raging, baby." And then Deadpool goes, "Suck on this." And then Man goes, "Wait, what?"
That's funny.
And then he goes, "Enough jive talking." Yeah.
It's fun. Welcome to Ryan Reed this week's comments.
Yeah.
I love listening to Ryan recap.
I'm putting you under wraps. Good luck with that. Power Man's unchanged and disarming you. And then Power Man rips this guy's arm off. And then Blade goes, "I heard punching.
Oh
he's
God.
Deadpool,
yeah.
All right?" And then the white man says, "Scan her."
Okay, seriously, we need to do a special podcast where Ryan just reads comics to you.
Ryan reads. Welcome to Ryan Reads Comics. I've been rewatching all of Mr. Show recently, and it's so funny to see Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
Not what he looks like now, where he now looks kind of like the old Buzzard from like Looney Tunes cartoons, with like a huge belly.
Yeah.
Back then, he just looked like a very tall man. Like he wasn't fat or anything. Like he was bald. He's always been fucking bald, and he has like a nose like I do. So his like side profile just makes him look like a toucan. But he didn't look that fucking googly eyed and weird back then. Like 20 years ago,
yeah.
I was watching Mr. Show, and Sarah came in and she goes, "Is that Brian Posehn? Oh my god! I thought he always looked like a weird vulture." No, back then he only looked like a giant. He was so fun.
It looks pretty great.
Awesome.
Which issue number is this?
On Mr. Show.
Which issue? 13.
Wow. I only read the first six.
I read the first six.
Anyways, basically at the end, the white man gets turned into a rock somehow.
Was the second arc of Deadpool good?
Yeah, it was really good. This is a book that's like solid, like it's never bad.
Sweet.
It's always really good. It's very, we're going to throw as many jokes as possible.
Yeah,
because
they pitched it.
And most of them hit, but...
They pitched it as, like, they had a handful of, like, six-issue
yeah.
story arcs that they pitched.
Yeah. It's
and
very
apparently the first one that they asked was the Dead Presidents one. They're like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We can do the Dead Presidents one first.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's lots of... And there's still, like, a lot of stuff that's, like, carrying over from basically the first issue, too. And this little story, which I like this one and the last one that they did, was the retro story, which they claim are like lost stories, canned stories. Both of them so far have linked into the present time. This one being the white man gets broken out of his rock prison, basically.
His prison rocks!
And he says, vengeance prison will be rocks. The white man's! And then they show Luke Cage sleeping and going, we're not partners.
Prison rocks.
And then another really cool cover next month.
Does Patton Oswalt write another letter?
No, he hasn't written one in like a couple issues.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And actually, the only letter column I read is Deadpool because it's fun. Because it's like written in person or in character. But yeah, like it's a really funny book. And most of their jokes hit. And most of their jokes work. There's a few that don't every issue.
Kind of like this show.
No, we're pretty. We're
always on.
You and I are.
Or should I do the guitar lick again?
Why?
Just to prove how great.
Why does a mermaid wear seashells?
Why do all the.
So it's to cover her tits.
No, because bee shells are too small.
Oh, that's
why do all the Marvel books have Share Your Universe?
What's that? We got those Share Your Universe like promo books that I just threw mine away and looked at it, so I have no idea.
Oh, I don't even know.
Something to do with AR, I imagine. It's something stupid.
Okay.
Well, guys, it's the end of the show.
I gotta go home.
You know what that means.
Okay.
That's all for this week on the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup.
The book... Geek Stampede. It's a picture of Curtis Joseph, the NHL goalie.
This is
Cujo.
Yeah.
Keeps the
That's a pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's a picture of a cemetery and people crying and it's just his pet cemetery. A man whose name is Pat, but his parents spelt his name wrong on his birth certificate and put an E instead of an A, so he's Pet.
Why
and
would
then,
it just be Pat Cemetery?
He owns this graveyard.
Oh, Pet Cemetery.
I'm Joey G.
Cemetery.
I'm Robbie G.
Okay.
This is Ryan Hess.
Just a big, like, the tower of Isengard, but it's really, really dark. And now it's the Dark Tower.
See, that one wasn't even, like, the other ones were puns. You're just saying the actual title of the book.
The
now.
Other ones were barely puns, my friend.
Ryan, I have one thing to say to you.
Oh, they were, oh my god, just a really bad joke written and then
play
it says,
off.
Puns. Oh.
Hey,
oh my god, are you trying to rush me off the stage?
Ryan, fly by night away from here.
I'll drive.
I don't know.
Oh my god. Ryan, you, sir, are a modern day warrior. Mean stride. Rob can't play that one. Okay, never mind.
Oh wait.
There we go. Okay, keep going. Here we go.
I hope I don't have to say
it. I don't remember.
I was going to say
it.
Ryan, you are like the spirit of the radio.
Your shirt on the back side is black, so you're back in black.
That's not a Rush. No, we're not anyone easy after all the good
But
Rush.
It was a really funny joke that I made up myself.
I'm a child.
Let's go back to Limelight.
Oh wait, this is the best part.
Living on the lighted stage approaches the unreal. For those who think and feel, talk of some reality beyond the gilded rim.
That's all for this week on the Geek Stampede Comic Roundup. I am Joey G. That's Robbie G. This is Ryan Heff.
I'm Ryan.
We'll see you next week. We love you. Blues riff woo.
I know.